following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
No, that wasn't me. That was the neighbor. I don't know. Hey, it's time. The time has come. The time is now. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update for Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Did you ever think it would be 2024? I remember being in school thinking, when the year 2000 comes and I'm into my flying car, I'll be like 23, 24 years old. No flying cars. No, we don't have any of those. We never had the giant frogs with claws that were supposed to come in 1984. And the killer bees. What happened to the killer bees? We never got the killer bees. I'm feeling like it's been a letdown. No flying cars, no killer bees, no frogs with claws. I don't know, but all we can do is endeavor to persevere. I mean, that's all we can do. So let's talk about the important stuff, the news, okay? Ace Frehley, the spaceman, he is strongly denying accusations online that he wasn't the main guitar player on his new album. So first of all, have you heard 10,000 volts yet? No one here has heard. I have, but none of my staff has heard 10,000 volts. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in all of you. I mean, we talk about classic rock and none of you apparently have listened to 10,000 volts. It's a great album. Okay. It's a fun album. Is it on the level of the new Priest album? No, but it's a good album. In fact, I would say it's a great album. It's a fun album. And over the last couple weeks, it's been percolating. And I even saw an interview with Steve Brown where he kind of addresses it, but he kind of dodges it. After that interview, you're not sure. So Steve Brown, he was in Trickster. He's a producer. He's worked with a lot of these Frontiers music bands. He fills in Def Leppard when they need him. Talented guy, great guitar player, can sing, kind of does it all. But he does have bad hair, okay? Like I'm one to talk, right? The only critique I can say about the guy is he's got bad hair. That's all I can say. Everything else, I like the dude. Well, he was kind of songwriting and producing with Ace on the new 10,000 Volts album, which is actually done very well. Debuted very high. Was it number one or number two on the iTunes chart? Might still be. I don't know. It's done really well. But people online have been saying that Steve Brown handled the majority of the guitar work on the album. Here's what Ace says. Wow. Listen to previous albums by Steve Brown. Do they sound like this record? I don't think so. Number one, I'm doing all the vocals. Number two, I'm doing the majority of the solos. You know, Steve grew up idolizing me, and he's a wonderful human being and a great producer and a great engineer and a great guitar player and singer and songwriter. And working with him was such a pleasure. Sometimes he'd come up with his solo idea and I'd recreate it because he's been studying my guitar style since he was a little kid, you know. Ace does say that he did do some lead work on the album. He says, yeah, he's only 50 or 51. I'm 72. So a couple of times he laid down a solo, but he played it like me in my style because he studied my style his whole life. As far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't matter who plays what, you know. Well, except if it's an Ace Frehley album, people are kind of expecting you, Ace, to be the one playing. But whatever. As long as the cut sounds great. Okay, doesn't matter who does it, as long as it sounds great. A couple of them I thought Steve laid down so well that I said, let's just keep it. But that's as far as that goes. I played the majority of the guitar solos on the record, absolutely. So that's what he says. He does say that Steve Brown handled the majority of the background vocals. He says, it was great. I was very flattered, you know. He told me his two biggest influences were me and Eddie Van Halen, may he rest in peace. And so it was his dream to work with me. Once I realized his talent and his abilities as a writer and an engineer and a guitarist, songwriter, and singer, you know, he did most of the background vocals on the record, if not all of them. Of course, we doubled our vocals, but everybody does that. I mean, Kiss was doing that in the 70s. That's a process that's been going on in rock and roll for 40 or 50 years. Okay, so what we've got here is, I'm sure Steve played some of the guitars on it. Ace even says there might be a few solos that Steve played. The debate or the accusations are that Ace was not playing the guitar solos on this album. So the truth is in the middle, right? That's usually where it is. I'm sure Ace played some, and I'm sure Steve played some. And Ace was working with Steve very closely, and he said that as a songwriting partner. And Steve had a lot to do with that. And you know what? There are lots of producers. Guys, Mutt Lang. I mean, you think of the famous Mutt Lang albums, whether it's Back in Black or Hysteria by Def Leppard. Mutt Lang is all over those albums, right? So I don't, to me, it's kind of much ado about nothing. I'm sure that Ace played some of the guitars, and I'm sure Steve played some of the guitars. And I do agree with Ace on this point. Is it a good album? It is a good album. What's the big deal? So I don't know. I don't think it's really that much controversy, but if you haven't listened to 10,000 Volts, you should do it. It's pretty catchy, right? And it's an Ace album. You're not expecting Dark Side of the Moon when you listen to Ace, right? These are going to be typical Ace kind of juvenile lyrics. It's a party album. It's a good time album. It makes you feel good, right? That's kind of the whole point. And there's nothing wrong with that. So go out and enjoy 10,000 Volts. He says, lastly, quote, people are always going to say something that's going to start things off. You know, I've read dozens of comments where people say his vocals are too good. He probably auto-tuned the majority of them. Yeah, you can ask me. You can ask Steve Brown. We didn't use auto-tuning on any of my vocals. I have perfect pitch. No, I'm not the greatest singer in the world, but everybody who hears me knows it's me. I have a certain vocal style. There you go. Perfect pitch, by the way, doesn't mean you have, as he says, doesn't mean you have a great singing voice. It's what he just said. Perfect pitch just means that people with perfect pitch, well, they have perfect pitch. You know, they can tell if notes are out of tune or not, or that sort of thing. And I don't know if he has perfect pitch. He says he does. But, you know, usually when people are picking on Ace, it's usually not about him being pitchy, being off key. It's just that he doesn't have the world's best voice. You know, I think he hits the notes he needs to hit. I don't know. Hi, Marlon. Marlon is checking in today. Marlon, of course, always welcome here. And of course, we love his avatar. It's a picture of one of my favorite albums, Michael Schenker's Assault Attack. So thanks for checking in this morning, Marlon. Elton John and Bernie Taupin were recognized on Wednesday evening, that's just last night, as the recipients of the Library of Congress's Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. Ceremony was held last night in Washington, D.C., and paid and more tribute. And let me rephrase this. It was held last night, and Metallica, Joni Mitchell, and others paid tribute to the duo.
Metallica began the evening with a cover of Funeral for a Friend and Love Lies Bleeding. They were followed by Annie Lennox performing Border Song, who then teamed up with Joni Mitchell, who won this same prize last year, by the way, and Brandi Carlile for a rendition of I'm Still Standing. Elton John has, you know, there's the good stuff. And then, like, to me, I'm Still Standing was kind of the throwaway poppy stuff that's not on the same level as Funeral for a Friend or Candle in the Wind or Daniel. You know, some of those really, really great songs. I'm Still Standing was kind of just a cheesy, whatever. You know, that's okay. I like cheesy songs every now and then. James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett were talking after the show. They said, they're an inspiration to us. Kirk Hammett said, they're responsible for some of the greatest songs of my childhood. And when you look at the catalog of Elton John and Bernie Taupin, and it's an interesting partnership. Taupin wrote the lyrics. Elton John wrote the music. Usually, I mean, that's typically how it worked. They have a phenomenal catalog of great songs. So that is awesome. Okay, from the This Is Awkward file, letters central to one of the most famous love triangles in rock history are set to hit the auction block. What am I talking about? So once upon a time, there was this guy named George Harrison who was in a little band called the Beatles. And he had a friend named Eric Clapton. And George was married to this pretty gal named Patty Boyd, married to her from 66 to 77. In my math mind, that's 11 years they were married. Well, during this whole time, Clapton's like writing love letters to Patty Boyd. He called her Layla. So not only was he writing her love letters, but he's writing songs about her. Layla. And she says about Layla, I just knew it. I knew it. I knew it. It was about me, Boyd told the Times, recalling the moment she first heard the song Layla. I went hot and cold because it was beautiful, so intense and amazing, she said. At the same time, the old Pisces in me, that's her astrological star sign, a Pisces, thought, oh my God, if George hears this, he's going to realize it's about me. So there's this awkward. Okay, so here's this whole thing, 11 years. George Harrison is married to Patty. Clapton is sending her love letters and writing songs about her. Oh, and by the way, George is writing songs about her. The song Something, it's about Patty Boyd. And then Clapton writes Wonderful Tonight about Patty Boyd. Awkward. Why am I bringing all this up? Well, because Patty Boyd is selling all of her love letters that Clapton has sent her over the years. It would be even more awkward if George Harrison were still alive, I think. But if you'd like to, you know, pick up one of these Clapton, steamy Clapton love letters, they're thinking that each one will go for around $19,000 to $20,000 each. So Patty Boyd will also be selling personal photographs, clothing, jewelry, and artwork. The auction runs through, well, it runs through tomorrow. So I'm just hearing about this now. So you don't have much time, okay? So there you go. If you want the steamy Clapton letters to Patty Boyd, move fast, move fast. Ricky Phillips, he's a bass player. He was in the Babies. He was in Bad English. He's worked with Ted Nugent, David Coverdale, Jimmy Page, right? So he's a journeyman musician, great bass player, great singer also. Well, he's been in Styx for the last 20 years. He's been part of the Styx family for 20 years. And he's announced he's stepping away from Styx. This is posted on his social media. Quote, my last 20 plus years of touring and recording with my friends in Styx has come to an end. I'm taking a break from the road. I'm not retiring, just taking a break. Presently, I have accepted an offer to co-produce a project in a studio close to home. I've known since I was a kid that live performance is in my blood, so in time, I will post any future engagements or commitments. But for right now, Melissa and I will share coffee talk and meals from home with our critters close by. Of course, I will always cherish the adventurous days recording and touring with Styx. And I will truly miss the wonderful, crazy, and faithful Styx fans whose smiling faces I often saw more than my own family. And that's really what it sounds like it's boiling down to, is time away from your family. I think as guys, when I say guys, I mean people, not necessarily guys, not gender specific. When people get older, right, their tendency is to want to spend more time with their family and around loved ones, which totally makes sense. And being on the road is a grueling thing. You know, every professional musician I've heard talk about it is like, they would play the shows for free. They would get up on stage and play for free. What they get paid for is the touring, right? It's all the work that goes on between the shows. Getting on the bus, getting to the hotel, loading, unloading, sound check, all of that stuff. Think about when you go on a long road trip, how tired you are, even though you've just been sitting in a car for 8 hours or however long. Think about doing that every day for 6 months, 8 months. Yeah, it's a slog. And as people get older, they don't want to do that as much. So I get that. Styx posted on their social media, it was a joy to spend 2 decades with Ricky Phillips and Styx, and we wish him all the best in his new adventure. He'll always be a part of the Styx family, and we'll miss his presence on our stage and in our touring lives. So they had a show, or they have a show tomorrow night. And as of this morning, it hasn't been announced who will be filling in the bass slot. Now, Chuck Pinozzo is still part of the band. Chuck was the original bass player and, of course, brother of the original drummer, John Pinozzo, who died back in the early 90s. Chuck, on occasion, will play with him, and maybe he will be able to fill in on this show tomorrow. Don't know. Haven't heard. What's interesting is when Chuck is there to play, Ricky plays guitar. So he'll just play guitar on those songs where Chuck is playing. Chuck has limited involvement because of his ongoing battle with HIV. You know, fortunately, he's still healthy enough to play with them occasionally, but I don't think he can do it full time. So stand by, stay tuned, keep your eyeballs peeled for information on who the new bass player will be. And I just want to announce right now that I would be open to filling that slot in Styx as their bass player. I mean, I'm not a bass player and no one has asked me, but I'm ready to see the headline that says I'm open to doing it. That's the way headlines work. You know, that could be a breaking headline. Jeremy, host of Classic Guitar Rock, is open to touring with Styx as their new bassist. I'll just throw that out there. All right. In celebration of the upcoming 50th anniversary of the legendary Motorhead, ZT has gathered a staggering lineup of folks to narrate their personal encounters with the man that came to define the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle, Lemmy Kilmister. No Remorse, the illustrated true stories of Lemmy Kilmister and Motorhead. This is a 176-page tribute with a deeply personal foreword by his dear friend Dave Grohl, and a truly touching afterword by his longtime friend and collaborator, Ozzy Osbourne. So Dave Grohl is doing the intro. Ozzy Osbourne is doing the afterword. And they'll be hearing from people like Ozzy, Lars Ulrich, Slash, Chrissy Hynde, Dee Snider, Dave Navarro, Michael Moorcock. Michael Moorcock, the science fiction author. He had a tight relationship with Hawkwind, the band that Lemmy was in. Triple H, the wrestler, Corey Graves. Who's Corey Graves? I don't know who that is. Matt Pinfield, Penelope Sphere. Okay, now it's just people I've never heard of. Ricky Rockman, I've heard of him. Mickey D and Slim Jim Phantom of the, he was in Stray Cats, wasn't he? Yeah. So all of these guys are coming together to write, narrate, share their experiences they had with Lemmy and Motorhead. And I'm sure there'll be great pictures in there as well. Marlon says, your college team plays my hometown team tonight, Washington State versus Drake. Okay, so I know this is not a sports podcast, but let's just talk about this. I live in Eastern Washington, which is Washington State country. Yes. A lot of Washington State fans. Washington State actually having a pretty good season for them in basketball. My daughter, my third daughter, actually graduated from University of Washington over in Seattle. So Huskies. So I've got allegiances for Washington State because that's kind of the local college. I've got allegiances to UW, but also Gonzaga. Gonzaga is right here in Spokane. Gonzaga usually makes a deep run into the March Madness. I actually worked at Gonzaga for a while. So I have affiliations with Gonzaga as well. So what's a guy to do? Who am I going to root for? Well, Marlon, I have to root for Washington State tonight versus Drake. But then who do I – then am I rooting for Gonzaga at that point? You know, what would be great is if Washington State wound up having to play Gonzaga. I don't know if that's even possible. Well, I guess it's possible, but who knows? That would be interesting. Love me some March Madness. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but it does get exciting around here, around Final Four time, you know, Sweet 16. In fact, there's a theater around here that once you get down to like the Sweet 16, they broadcast the Gonzaga games right in the theater. So it's awesome. We go to the theater and watch the Gonzaga games in a big theater. They don't charge anything. They are making money from selling popcorn, but it's a lot of fun. Hopefully they do that again this year. But yeah, I'm kind of fired up about that, Marlon. And thank you for reminding me of that. That's great. We do have an email to get to. This says, hey, Jeremy. By the way, you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com, classicguitarrock@mail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to share your email on the podcast. This says, hey, Jeremy, enjoying the daily updates, but I'm missing the full episodes with you and JR. When will the next one be? But that is not the reason for this email. Just a content question. You do very few interviews, which, to be honest, is okay with me. But I notice most classic rock-related podcasts or YouTube channels are mostly interviews. Why have you not done more interviews? Next question, who would you like to interview? Ooh, I'll keep listening. This is from Bryce McFarland. Bryce, thank you so much for your email. Let's address this one step at a time. You ask, when will the next episode with JR be? Probably, I got to talk to JR. I haven't talked to JR in a couple of weeks. You know, my mom passed away. We had the funeral. We had all of that. That kind of slowed things down a bit. I would say in the next week or two, we'll probably have a new episode up. I've got to reach out to JR. And usually Thursdays are when we record it. We're not recording one tonight. So probably next Thursday is we'll record it, which would mean the following Friday, the next day, we'd have our next full-length episode on. We've talked about doing a Jethro Tull episode. We also had a great recommendation for a focus on the new wave of British heavy metal. So we've got some ideas. We've got some options, but we absolutely knew that need to do that because I missed talking to JR and we need to do another episode. So we will surely do that. Your next point. You notice that I don't really do interviews that often. I've done a few. In fact, and I'm just going to be completely honest here. Interviews make me nervous because I'm interviewing like famous people. I'm just being honest. People that I like. Guys, I scheduled my first celebrity interview. I mean, and I'd interviewed some people before then. These are people that I knew that I was comfortable reaching out. One was a gentleman that's a producer or a recording engineer in Los Angeles that I'd worked with years ago, known him since he was 20 years old, right? So that was an easy interview to do. I've interviewed some people I met from other podcasts. And again, they're kind of like me, so I don't feel that same nervousness. But when you're starting to talk about, I'm just bearing my soul here. When you're starting to talk about famous people, it's kind of intimidating. I interviewed Graham Bonnet, which to me, I mean, I don't know, you can't call him a household name, but to me, I idolize Graham Bonnet. I mean, he was like maybe my favorite singer ever. And I set it up and I'm talking with people. And then I turn on my computer and there's Graham Bonnet talking to me. And it was awesome, but it was terrifying all at the same time. And so I get really nervous about interviewing famous people. I'll just be honest. And I've even got, you know, I've got some people that follow me. And I follow on Twitter, now X, that have said they're open to being interviewed. The problem is me, because I'm nervous about setting it all up, you know? And that's one thing that I would like to do more of. But at the same time, I don't want this podcast to be an interview podcast, right? Because I like to talk about the news, and I like to, it's just, I don't know. I like the free flow of not necessarily being tied to an interview, but at the same time, I get it. Who am I? People don't care what I think. They might rather hear someone be interviewed. I look at someone like Eddie Trunk, and Eddie Trunk in a lot of ways is a hero of mine, because here's a guy. Eddie Trunk is just a normal guy. He's not a musician. He worked in radio. I worked in radio. That's kind of where he got his start. And he's built a career by interviewing people. So I admire that about Eddie Trunk. And obviously, I'm nothing, right? But when you look at someone like an Eddie Trunk who, and I don't mean this as an insult, but he's not a musician, right? He's a normal guy like me. It inspires me because I think, well, I could do that, right? And I could interview people and it's great. And at some point, if I did more of it, I'd probably get past the intimidation part. There's a great podcast I listen to, the Vintage Rock podcast. Can't remember the guy's name. And he and I have even talked to each other a couple times. He interviews everyone and he does a great job. And when I look at his YouTube channel, he's got way more people that watch him and follow him. So I probably should get on the program and start interviewing more people, because I'm not going to draw people in to see me. So yeah, I should interview more people. And I guess that's something that I want to do. And I have probably 8 people that you would know of that have already said, hey, they're open to doing an interview. Sometimes they've even reached out to me, which is awesome. And I haven't done it because it's kind of intimidating. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling the truth. That's why I haven't done more. Who would I like to interview? Well, I'll start with some that I've actually kind of talked to. I mean, I'm not friends of them, but we've communicated. Neil Sean. I'd love to interview Neil Sean. Stephen Piercy of Rat. I'd love to interview him. I mean, I'd love to interview Bruce Dickinson. I mean, there's so many people. But see, I don't even know if I could ever land some, to be honest, at that level. A Bruce Dickinson? You think I could ever land Rob Halford? Or I don't know. Another one of my heroes, just because he's done this, he's a regular guy, and that's Jeb Stuart, the guy who had Classic Rock Revisited, who I've interviewed. Great guy, wrote a book. He's a normal Joe. He was like a production manager. He loved classic rock, and he started interviewing people, and he grew this website. So the normal day everyman like me can do it. There are examples of it, like Jeb from Classic Rock Revisited. So it can be done. I'm just too nervous to do it. So one of my goals is to be more assertive and more proactive about actually lining up some interviews. So thank you for, pointing out this weak spot that I have, Bryce. Thanks so much. Any of you can email me classicguitarrock@mail.com. And Marlon says, Graham Bonnet's best vocal performance was on Assault Attack. Agree. I would say I probably agree. Yeah, that's probably my favorite album that Graham Bonnet appears on. Though the Alcatraz, the first Alcatraz album, I really love. Down to Earth is a great album as well. So, but yeah, I think Graham's work of, if you're going to listen, if you could only listen to one album with Graham Bonnet, I'd probably say Assault Attack is the one, Marlon. I would agree with that. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Appreciate all your support. Email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. And if you can subscribe for just $1 a month on Twitter or X, that'll help us take over the world, right? $1 a month. Anyways, kids, thanks for tuning in. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.